No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where we drink coffee because we like to carpe that fucking diem.
That's the loveliest thing I've ever heard.
Hello, and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode 25, given on this day, 25 May 2020. I'm glad to be here to talk to you all about shit, reading your emails, and discussing your comments and points of view. Why? Because you make this show great. Yeah. Do, 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 do. Good morning, everyone. I hope all you are doing great, maintaining your sanity through this thing called quarantine. And before I get started today, quick note, I'm happier than a pig in shit because Audacity, my podcast recording software, has been fixed. That is all. So really quick, for those of you who are not familiar with me bitching with a capital B about my recording software for the podcast. Couple of episodes, past two episodes, maybe even the past three, I've had to utilize a workaround from the developers of Audacity in order to use the software to record a podcast, simply because the operating system on my Mac was updated to Catalina 2. Whatever, whatever, whatever. And in this update, somehow, or for some reason, there was no, if I'm utilizing the right term, normalization between the operating system and software that was not to be considered, and I could be totally wrong in saying this, Apple-friendly. So Audacity was not Apple-friendly with the Catalina operating system, which didn't allow the Audacity software to communicate with my hardware for recording, which was a pain in the ass. But the developers of Audacity did provide a workaround that I had to utilize. So essentially an extra step in the recording process in order to access the software, to be able to allow the software to identify the hardware and record. That's fixed now. Happier than pig and shit. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Moving on. Okay. I just wanted to put that out there. I'm really happy about it because that extra step, as easy as it is, still a pain in the ass, and I didn't like it. And it was putting me in the position with my OCD to try and find software that works, that is just, you know, plug and play, click on and start recording versus go a backdoor route. I like everything to just work in concert and always be at the ready. So now that I don't have that problem, I don't have to look for any backup software. Yay. Okay. Again, good morning, everybody. Happy Memorial Day. Hope where you're at, the weather is great. If it's way too hot, maybe you get cooler temperatures. If it's a little chilly, maybe you get some warmer temperatures. Or if you like chili, then, and I'm not talking chili as in chili beans or meat and chili or hot chili or whatever. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about weather. Anyway, wherever you're at, I'm hoping that you have a great day. And spending this time with family members and loved ones to keep in good faith and memory of individuals who lost their lives defending this country and other countries for their freedoms. I think I said that right. If I didn't, I apologize. But we all know what this holiday's for. And speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to sound like a Dickensian or an asshole, but I'm going to say it anyway. There are people who will post on social media telling you, you need to know the difference of between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. You need to know what's what, blah, 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 blah. That's about what it sounds like to me. Yes, there's a delineation. There's a clear distinction between the two holidays. I get it. But people have been mixing it up for years. So if somebody thanks you for your service today, just smile and say thank you. Don't be a dick and tell them wrong holiday. All right? Get over yourself. So anyway, speaking of quarantine, I've noticed that there are two types of quarantiners, if that's even a word. But is it? Is it a word? Is it a word? Fuck it. I'm going to use it anyway, because we seem to make up words and add them to the dictionary on a whim, so why the fuck not, right? I mean, come on. They put muggle in the dictionary, so why not say quarantiners? I mean, it sounds right. I don't know. Sounds legit, right? Anyway, but I noticed these past few weeks, there seem to be two types of quarantiners. There are the ones, like myself, that are taking this at face value and maintaining their sanity. Now, I'll say that to an extent. Disclaimer, to an extent, right? There are certain things that drive me nuts. I need to get out of the house and do stuff, whatever. And I do stuff around the house, outside and in, to just kind of keep myself occupied and getting into my hobbies. But you get the point, right? The ones that are maintaining their sanity. And there are those who seem to have kind of, sort of fallen from grace. Maybe that's a bad thing to say, but what they've done is they've put on that tinfoil hat and they got sucked into the digital vortex and searching the contrails of the internet for information in order to prove that this stay-at-home movement is a farce. I mean, video documentaries and news articles are being posted all over social media about the government's nefarious intentions over the coronavirus. You with Big Pharma, right? And they post things like, you need to watch this video before it's taken down. This is some serious shit. This will make you think, I want to know the truth. Epstein didn't kill himself. Just kidding. But it's funny because these things are being posted, and I'm talking about one in particular, the Plandemic video, which I will say is very, very well done. It looks like it should be a documentary on Netflix or Discovery Channel or the History Channel or some prominent network, right? That's how well it's done. The person conducting the interview, don't remember his name, don't know his name, don't care. Very eloquent, very well spoken, asks some clear pointed questions, has a killer voice overall. And it was just very, very well done. The intro, the tone of the entire interview, and the exit of the entire 26-minute video was very well done, right? But all these internet experts came out of the fucking woodwork after this video was published, and it perpetuated itself. Oh, YouTube's already taken it down, but here it is on this place. Oh, Facebook blocked it, but I went ahead and here it is, and I'm reposting it again. And I'll get to that. Well, let me talk about that piece. That piece is only perpetuating the theory, right? You turn around and you feed the masses by continuously perpetuating this process of, oh, the government's trying to silence it. YouTube's taking it down. Mark Zuckerberg's a dick, so he's silencing this video and he's put out this direct order. Now, people didn't say that, I'm just assuming, right? But the whole blah, blah, blah of the whole conspiracy nut theory type thing. I shouldn't say conspiracy nut, you know, but you get my point, right? It's just, it's asinine and it gets old really quick. And because it's such a well done video, it has to be fucking true. This has to have some validity to it. This has to have science and facts behind it. Therefore, it must be true. This person that he's conducting the interview with, this scientist, this doctor, whomever she is, I can't remember her name. I'd have to go look it up. But it's got to be true. And because it's being taken down off of YouTube, because it's being silenced on frickin' Facebook, it's got to be fucking true. You know, it's weird, you know, and all these internet experts come out of the fucking woodwork and they express their, I'm going to air quote, expert opinion, or know an expert who is a friend of a friend who is in the know or was in earshot of a conversation and heard what? For all I know, it was the frickin' night custodian who was taking out the office trash and happened to be an earshot of a conversation between two scientists who were discussing something that had nothing to do with COVID-19. I mean, and I really don't want to get into these details because, one, I don't fucking want to. Personally, I feel it's fucking pointless. And I'm not a medical professional. I didn't stay in at a Holiday Express last night. And honestly, at this point in time, I don't fucking care. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if there is a government conspiracy, let's just say if, I still kind of think that, you know, somebody's making money off of this, right? Somebody's making money. Every little venture that has happened, any little conflict, somebody is making money. Somebody is going to bitch about it. Somebody's going to turn around the whole 9/11 thing. Oh, government conspiracy to make money. Frickin' COVID-19, big conspiracy for big pharma to make money. Shit. If you think about that movie Quiz Show that was set back in the 1950s, where there was an investigation of the Quiz Show, this individual that was conducting the investigation was going against both NBC, right? Media conglomerate and frickin', Geritol, Big Pharma then. This all money making scheme is old news. It's been around for years and years and years. There's always some nefarious thing behind it in somebody's mind. That part does not change, right? Again, if there is a government conspiracy, the truth will out eventually. And then if it does, great. What do we do now? If it doesn't, what are you going to do? But look, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go out there and fight and say, all right, these drug, you know, for the price that it takes to make this pill, why are you charging me an exorbitant amount of money just so that I can get, so I can buy it so that I could get well? Like the whole insulin thing that was like 100% markup or whatever, you know, fucking ludicrous, absolutely fucking nuts. What are we doing about that? Screw the conspiracy. What can we do as the American people, as the world, to fucking fix the problem? Give me that solution. Don't talk about the fucking conspiracy. How do we fucking fix this? What is it that we have to do? And who can we get behind us to freaking fix this problem? That's all I'm asking for. You know, my useless advice to those people who seem to be spending too much time on social media and helping perpetuate the problem, you need to fucking unplug. Go outside and cut your lawn. Lord knows you need some vitamin D. Okay? Weed your flower beds. Wash your damn car. As a matter of fact, vacuum that motherfucker too while you're at it. Clean your house with the music on really loud. Okay? Then maybe grab some good coffee, tea, wine, beer. Excuse me. My voice cracked. Grab some, whatever. Go find a really good book. I don't care if it's an analog hard copy or you prefer Kindle, whatever. Just get some reading material and immerse yourself in a different kind of fiction or nonfiction and reset your fucking brain. Because some of you need it. Some of you just need to unplug and reset, reboot, because this is getting out of control. Now, to further this, when you're talking about government conspiracies, there was another post by a friend of mine, and I'm not diming her out. She's a very strong individual, a tough person, very self-reliant, independent is the word I'm looking for. So I don't believe that she fully adopts what she posted, but I kind of found it comical in nature because it had something to do with the new operating system for the iPhone, tracking people and, speeding up the process for facial recognition, all that shit. And one of the comments that was made by one of her friends, was talking about, well, no offense, but I'm glad I have Android. And all I could do was facepalm. Excuse me. Oh, didn't mean to hit the mic. I got scratch. All I could do was laugh and shake my head. And I'm sitting here thinking, this is the same individual that probably believes that plandemic video. Because this person, oh, because you have an Android, you're not being tracked. I've got news for you. If you've got any sort of mobile device on your wrist, in your hands to communicate with, if you have a tablet, if you have an iPad, if you have a laptop, desktop, if you have Alexa in your home, if you utilize Siri on your phone, motherfucker, you're being tracked regardless. Even if you opt out, I will tell you, you're still being tracked in some form or function. You're not going to totally abolish any sort of tracking mechanism in your phone. And if somebody really wanted to track you for whatever reason, if you give them a red flag or a reason to, they'll be able to track your phone regardless of what options you select. Just putting that out there. Okay. To further this purpose, where the fuck did that come from? I don't even know why I said that. Dun, 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 dun. Let me just jump right in. A friend of mine mentioned this. What refutes science? Better science. What does not refute science are your feelings, religion, favorite politician, and your half-baked opinions watching two YouTube videos. You know, speaking of half-baked opinions, believing what you see on those videos or what you read these days, my honest opinion, and this is my opinion, opinions are like assholes, these things are imprinted on your brain. You made yourself susceptible, probably because the video looked great, I'm assuming, and it left an imprint on your brain that there must be some truth to this, okay? So and this might be a bad example, but you remember those audio clips where, hey, when you hear this person's voice, do you hear Yanni or Laurel? Now, I found the audio clips, and I decided to test myself. And one audio clip, I heard Yanni. The second audio clip, I heard Laurel. And then I went back and listened to them again. And again, and again. Then I looked at their project rate, their hertz and everything, how it was recorded. One tone was slightly higher than the other. The difference in tone allowed me to hear one name over the other. On top of the suggestion of, you're going to hear Yanni. Do you hear Yanni or Laurel? Usually, the first word you hear, if I say you're going to hear Yanni, you're going to hear Yanni. If you're going to hear Laurel, you're going to hear Laurel. Or if I say Laurel, you're going to hear Laurel. And this might be a bad example, but I kind of feel as though there's a little bit of truth to it, however very, very minuscule, that if somebody suggests something and you're open to it, that's what you're going to hear. That is what you're going to believe. And again, the validity, I mean, the source, the video, very eloquent, would make you believe that this has got to be true. Maybe that was a bad example. So let's just move on. So, and the reason why I said this, because it had me thinking, honestly, that, and maybe a bit too much. And I'm wondering if anybody else had these same feelings. To be clear, I'm talking about friends who post conspiracy theories on social media and having the desire, me in particularly, to block or unfriend them, right? And I mean, or you can mute the person. There is that option. So you don't necessarily have to unfriend them. You could always mute them for a bit, right? But the reason why I thought about this was it was inspired by a conversation I was having with another friend of mine. And for her privacy, you know, I won't mention her name, but for the record, it was, and it was a completely different topic, but there's a little bit of a correlation in what we were discussing in the decisions that we make to either block or unfriend people on social media. And the Cliff Notes version of the conversation opened with her feeling bad that if she were to unfriend or block a person. And this is my feeling on it, right? This is my comment. This is my opinion that regardless of how you feel, sometimes you do what you have to do, right? You do what you have to do and just do it because people, others, your friends may spare no feelings about unfriending or blocking you or declining a friend request. So why should you feel any different, right? It's one of those things where you feel that you've got a closeness, but maybe you're not as close if they're willing to unfriend you or block you. Now, to be clear, this is just my opinion, and everyone has their own differing views on how they would handle certain situations, placing them in a position of closing the door on somebody they're friends with. Excuse me. Anyway, and going on, this may sound callous, but I don't lose sleep over people who unfriend or block me. I just don't, and especially if you're not man or woman enough to tell me you're doing so. You know, and really is it, do you need to validate the reason why you unfriended me? It might be that we friended each other because we, you know, said, what's up in high school, right? And we're like, hey, what's going on? And that was the extent of our knowledge of one another. And you may not like my posts. You may not have anything in common with me. And you decide, I don't need you on my friends list. That's fine. I can deal with that. You know, so does it really mean that you have to validate why you unfriend or block me or muted me or whatever? No, I don't need that validation. And obviously, if I did something justifiably wrong that warranted a person to unfriend or block me, right, then okay, got it. Whatever the reason, I look at it as we're all adults and not in high school anymore, so grow the fuck up. Grow the fuck up. That's all I'm going to say. You know, and if you unfriend me, fine. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But what I'm really getting at is I did my own search online. And imagine that. I did my own research online. I found an interesting article by Ellen Broughton. Hopefully I pronounced her last name correctly. Associate professor of psychology at Harvard Medical School. Who has an article entitled "Coronavirus Conspiracy Theorists Have Now Revealed Themselves. What Can the Rest of Us Do?" And I will include the link in the show notes when the show's published. And it's a really interesting article. You're probably going to hear me clicking here, but it is a realist. It's a really good view on this, and it coincides with the discussion that my friend and I were having, and it made me think a little bit about, you know, my choices, and I haven't done it lately, to be clear, about what I would do in the event that somebody was just in conspiracy theory overkill. And again, excuse me, coffee. My throat is getting dry. So here it is. Coronavirus conspiracy theorists have now revealed themselves. What can the rest of us do? Relationships that suffer as a result of unreconcilable politics may force you to make a decision to make that less distressing choose. I can't even read today. So before I start reading this, I read it before. There's some words that for some reason they don't trip off the tongue very well. So I'm going to apologize in advance. So here we go. Relationships that suffer as a result of unreconcilable politics may force you to make a decision to make that less distressing choose consciously. I'm even having a hard time saying that. Again, by Ellen Broughton, Associate Professor of Psychology, Harvard Medical School. She writes, "In the last week, I've blocked acquaintances on Facebook for posting conspiracy theories and nasty responses to an innocuous political commentary." Now, so what I'm going to do, because she says acquaintances, and I just picked up on that. And to me, define acquaintance. Okay. Let's see. So searching for the word acquaintance, a person one knows slightly, but who is not a close friend. Okay. So to me, there's a difference there, but I think there's additional information that we could really extrapolate from this article here. It just was a choice of words of saying acquaintances. Cause to me, if they're acquaintance, they're easy to block or unfriend. But what if they're a friend, right? What if they're a true friend? What if they're somebody that you do know? All right. So I just wanted to clear that up in case you caught that just now as I was reading it, where it took me just reading it to finally catch it, or reading it again to finally catch it. So again, in the last week, I've blocked acquaintances on Facebook for posting conspiracy theories and nasty responses to innocuous political commentary. I've been disappointed to find friends enamored with miracle treatments and proclamations of existing herd immunity. Other people I know have shown unexpectedly ugly sides of their personalities, prejudices, a disdain for expertise and science, cognitive biases, which make it difficult for me to continue my relationships with them. My sudden willingness to cut people off if they won't change their minds is unusual. I've been a psychologist for 25 years, and though it was an initially challenging concept for me to accept, I do know that some people are incapable of change. On a personal level, this lesson was admittedly difficult for me to absorb, but once I did, it allowed me to accept certain people in my life and to accept them and their decisions for who and what they are. In the age of COVID-19, I find that I'm not so accepting. Political and personal decisions feel like they have life and death consequences. Misinformation skewed toward a political view may cause people to disregard social distancing or take dangerous or unproven medication. And it's affecting people I love the most. Sometime in the middle of March, my 83-year-old mother, who had a part-time job as a grocery store clerk, told me I wouldn't be able to visit her in her senior housing complex because it was being closed to guests due to social distancing. But you can still come see me at Piggly Wiggly on Monday and Wednesday afternoons, she said. I felt my blood pressure rising. Mom, if it's too dangerous for me to see you at your home, it's certainly unsafe for me to visit you at Pigs. She disagreed, but not because she was being otherwise exposed to so many potential virus carriers there. Rather, the news she consumed, a certain conservative news channel to be specific, had told her that liberals were overreacting to a threat. You know how many people die from the flu every year, she said. I wanted to scream. I knew that agreeing to disagree wasn't an option since this was a matter of her life or death. Situations like that with my mother have played out for me over and over again since then on social media and in my social circles, I know I'm not alone. Initially, I thought the solution to distressing interactions other than those with my mother was to cut people out of my life, but that felt drastic and painful. The alternative, ignoring or accepting, also left me feeling distressed and dishonest. Dishonest, not dist. Dishonest. I'm adding stuff to the dictionary today. Okay. It didn't take me long to remember that relationships that end as a result of unreconcilable politics are like any other relationship. There are many ways to say goodbye. The key factor in making that goodbye less distressing is to make the decision a conscious one, despite the possible loss or grief that might follow. So, here comes a word. What are your choices when someone else's decisions feel entire unconscionable to you? If that's the way I said it right, I don't know. You could just decide that whatever they believe or are doing is not worth leaving your relationship. After all, some people in your life may be too important to lose over politics. For instance, my mother and I disagree about almost every hot button issue, but I don't want to live my life without her in it. Instead of arguing about what's on Fox or MSNBC, as we've done in the past, we now turn off the news when we're together and watch the Hallmark Channel instead. Alternately, you could decide to make a conscious choice to learn from people who are different from you. Some people in your life, old friends, siblings, keep you honest about where you came from while still making you feel comfortable and safe about the divide between you. A grade school friend of mine is one of those. I have little emotional investment in him, and it doesn't cause me significant distress to see his conspiracy-based Facebook posts. Although I have been known to mute him from time to time, I like getting a glimpse into what, and by extension, people like him are thinking because it challenges me to think about alternate viewpoints. Or you could make a choice to say goodbye to someone whose decisions or beliefs don't fit with your values. Some of us simply can't bear to have relationships with those whose beliefs violate our ethical principles or our sense of human decency. Whether because of their bigotry, intolerance, inability to care for others, or whatever. Find your line in the sand and then determine whether that relationship is worth keeping. For my friend, Teresa, her line was finding out that her brother was active in the white nationalist movement. She thought about ghosting him, but she felt she needed closure, so she wrote him a letter telling him why she needed to end their relationship. There's no right way to say goodbye, though, especially if it's somebody you once loved or still care about. Just don't leave the relationship thinking that your last words will have an effect on the other person, because they probably won't. Next, you could hope that situations or even people will change. After all, we won't be living in the uncertain and anxiety-ridden COVID-19 time forever. And, though as a psychologist, I tell patients not to count on people changing, I can also vouch for the fact that many people can. For instance, my mother didn't used to think that cigarettes cause cancer and thought wearing a seatbelt was a violation of her civil rights. Now she vehemently believes the opposite and she's even changed her mind about the quarantine. Since leaving her job near the end of March, she won't think about leaving her apartment. Finally, you could change too. Experiences inevitably alter us, and difficult experiences transform us the most. You will likely emerge from this challenging time a different person in some way. As for me, I actually hope to be less likely to agree to disagree when there are human lives at stake. I want to become more discerning in my relationships and to be better able to not just accept that there are situations, viewpoints, and people who can't be changed, but that are unchangeable situations, viewpoints, and people I don't have to accept. Again, this is a really good article written by Ellen Broughton, PhD, and she's an associate professor of psychology at Harvard Medical School. I will put this link in the show notes because I thought it was a very interesting read, and I thought I would just go ahead and openly share it with you. I would also say go and read the article yourself and form your own opinion on what you see. What do you read? What do you perceive? I like it. It's a really good article. Anyway, so speaking further on friends, we have an email from our favorite librarian, Miss Leslie. She writes, "Hello, Jim. Sorry, but I won't call you an asshole unless you really piss me off, and that's not likely to happen." Yeah, I've been called. So we talked about my name being Landon or James or Jim. I usually go with whatever anyone. That doesn't make damn bit of sense. Excuse me, coffee. I really need it today. I usually just go with what anybody feels comfortable with. Landon's my middle name. James is my given name, but I answer to both. If you decide to call me asshole, call me asshole. I don't care. But I hope I don't piss Miss Leslie off. But if I do, please let me know if you're going to unfriend or block me. Anyway. She writes, "I really should be working on a teaching tip I promised to write and get out today, but to heck with that. I've written three this week, as well as working on a how-to for a database that makes students cry." Honest, it's not that difficult, but our students want everything to be Google easy. Well, life isn't Google easy, kids. Sheesh. I miss them and the library and my coworkers. Puritan work ethic is something my parents instilled in me, and I have been feeling guilty for not being as productive as I believe I should be while working at home. I ought to just give in to the distractions, right? Like tidying the closet in the second bedroom. I put all my give to Goodwill crap in there, and it's a disaster area. I guess I'll box it up and stick it in the trunk of my car, let it sit there until they start accepting donations again. Out of sight, out of mind. And I completely understand what she's saying. And we talked about in the last couple of episodes working from home and how much I think it sucks. I just don't feel it's really weird. It's a really weird dynamic. I don't like feeling as though that I'm tethered to my work computer. I just don't like it. And I think that's what makes it frustrating. You know, we talk about being tracked, and it's one of those things where I feel as though I'm being tracked. And I don't like that feeling when I'm having to log into a portal from home and feel as though somebody's watching how long I'm on, if there's any activity or what I'm doing. So for me to circumvent that, because most of my work is not really anything to write home about, I just send it to myself through email, and I work on my personal computer with it and stay off my government computer. And the other reason is my government computer is like this rinky dink 12-inch screen, and I'm not going to sit there and type on a 12-inch form factor and do any work or type up documents or try to read information. I'm going to put it on a bigger screen. And then you might say, well, why don't you just add external monitors? I don't feel like bringing all my monitors from work home. That's something that I refuse to do. So that's by choice. I'm paying the price for it. I get it. I do have my own external monitors, but I refrain from hooking up anything that I own to a government computer because they're crazy like that and they may freak out, or it may cause an issue that my computer will go on lockdown and I don't feel like dealing with it. Anyway, she goes on to write, "Interesting description of how you produce a podcast. I wonder how you do it, and now I know. Not that I'll be doing it. I had no idea how bad my Texas accent was until I heard myself on your podcast. I ain't no uneducated rural yokel, though some of my mother's more distant relatives are. when we were growing up and visiting and visited East Texas, we always got the don't pay them much attention. They're backward and bigoted, and that's not right. I confess to drinking Keurig coffee for most of the past week. Despite having a beautiful bag of Fierce in the pantry, I ran out of filters and had to settle for the HEB brand. They kept pulling apart at the seam, and horrors, grounds in my brew. I really hate getting down to the last sip and getting a mouthful of grounds. Ick. I went to HEB this morning and scored a box of Melitta filters and had a wonderful cup of Fierce as I was listening to you. I know some believe COVID-19 has been sent to us by God and only the blood of Jesus can save us. This Episcopalian does not believe that shit. But then our feet aren't held over the fire when it comes to believing in the catechism or the articles of religion. The Episcopal Church is way more loosey-goosey than that. On the highway to hell, according to some, I go because of the liturgy and I like the people. But between us, I'm a faithful doubter. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you mean. I had issues in catechism. I was always sent to the principal's office. We'll never forget this woman's face. We'll never forget her name. June Stepanski. She disliked me with a passion. Cold individual. I don't think I've ever seen her smile. But I was always very questioning of the Bible, of Jesus, of God, of the why. You know, I was always asking why questions. And I thought, you know, for a kid my age, not that they were super, you know, intelligent questions, but they were just basic. Well, why this? Why that? And it would just irritate the hell out of the teachers, and I'd get sent to the principal's office. So, because I was a distraction, rather than just saying, you know, hey, because he says so, and you're going to do what I don't like that control, you know. And I've heard and read some articles where the assumption was that there were certain chapters that were left out of the Bible because they reflected another side of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? A side that the churches felt as though that if they left in there, they would not be able to control the populations with the fear of God. So just saying. Anyway, yep, you've got some rude neighbors. And if your cigar smelled like a joint, I'd be asking if I could have a puff or two. That would be a lovely distraction and relaxing too. I agree. I absolutely agree. The thing that bothered me about that the most was all three of them stopped. The girl on the left of the guy did a turn and looked directly in the garage. And so I thought I locked eyes with her. Maybe she didn't see me. I don't know. I wasn't camouflaged. And I'm sitting there and I waved and she didn't have the decency to wave back or go, oh, I didn't realize, or, hey, are you smoking a joint? You know, at least some interaction whatsoever, but she just kind of gave me this look. And I'm like, yeah, it's time to move. Speaking of which, I'm getting ready to move. Not a military move, not a PCS move, not going to another state or another unit. I'm totally going to look at pulling the trigger and buying a house. That's something for a later episode. Anyway, Leslie goes on to write. Sophie is a distraction. She can be quite the pest at times. She has decided that she needs to be in bed as I try to make it. Then she oozes out from under the bedspread and attacks my feet. And she climbs the bookcases. I've lost one of my Russian nesting dolls to her curious paws, and she knocked off my Katrina, broke into so many pieces I couldn't salvage it. My friend who lives two doors down and up decided to check on some of our older batshit crazy neighbors. She's a better woman than I. When I moved into this unit in 2015, crazy as shit Rex offered to help me set up my electronics. Oh, hell no. I'd have to get the place exercised if he crossed the threshold. You mentioned the Spanish flu. Flu by Gina Colada is a good read and not too sciencey. I would love to get back to my current book, but I owe UIW some work. Alas, thanks for the show. Your librarian, Leslie. P.S. I might be stupid, but I got a call from the eye doctor and scheduled surgery for May 4th and 11th. They have to replace the lens in my good eye, too. Evidently, my brain will get confused if one eye is corrected and the other isn't. Like, quarantine isn't confusing enough for my brain. Again, all errors courtesy of autocorrect. Leslie, thank you for your email. It is always great to hear from you. So I think that being said, making sure, checking my show notes, making sure I didn't miss anything. I know I probably bored you all to hell today. But I didn't want to make this show too long because of you guys got things to do other than listen to me yammer and senseless rants about this, that, and the other. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up here. But before I do, I wanted to let you know that if you go to ironbeancoffee.com, www.ironbeancoffee.com, and go to merch, and then go down to, they've had it on the website for a couple of days now, but I wanted to wait till they had it up to talk about it. If you're a fan of Clean Canteen, that's KLEEN KNTEEN, Clean Canteen, who makes some really outstanding products. Both Fred and Chanel Diedrich got on Facebook Live a couple of nights ago and talked about the release of this new Clean Canteen travel mug, or is it a canteen? Anyway, we'll just call it a canteen. Anyway, so I'm looking at the photos, and on the front, it's got a picture of Nori, and it says Iron Bean Coffee Company. And on the back, it says America's Local Coffee Roaster, with the Clean Canteen logo at the bottom, obviously. It also has what it looks like a D-ring for you to be able to clip a carabiner on. So if you don't have room in your backpack, you can clip it outside. It has a twist cap, which if you're familiar with Clean Canteen, the twist cap is very easily to take apart, wash on the inside, clean it out, put it back together. Very easy. And will also not leak on you when you shut it. But yeah, so it looks like it has a carabiner clip. It is a 2020 release. And it goes on to say, no matter if you like coffee piping hot or over ice, our new 2020 Clean Canteen is a perfect travel companion for your daily adventure. Beverages stay hot up to 72 hours. Wow. I'm really adding numbers there. I'm not only adding to the dictionary, I'm also adding hours to how this Clean Canteen actually operates and functions. No, correction. Beverages stay hot up to 17 hours. Ice drinks stay frosty for more than 58 hours. A battle-ready coffee bottle with durable double-walled construction and vacuum insulation. The stainless steel won't retain or impart flavors. Go from coffee to lemonade without a lingering taste. A TK-wide cafe cap is super leak-proof and to-go friendly. The easy-to-carry swivel loop makes it the ultimate travel companion. Drink more Iron Bean coffee in one go with this whopping 20-ounce coffee bottle. So, go to www.ironbeancoffeecompany.com, and they've got 102, as of this moment, 102 in stock. They're $35. Really nice looking canteen. Really, really nice. And I think I'm going to get one for myself. Add to cart. Bum, ba-dum, ba-dum, bum. I'm not going to order it like I did, because I had some issues. Or wait a minute. Yeah. You know what? Screw it. We're going to order it right here before we get off the show. How's that? Make this a thing. Oh, what's my password? You know, I did this one time before, and I know my password, and evidently I do because it looks like it's logging in. I'm ordering one right now. So now they're going to be down to 101 as soon as I'm done. Continue. Redirecting. Sweet. Continue to payment. Complete order. Order is being processed. Da, 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 da. Okay, thank you. Got it. All right. Continue shopping. And I got to do one thing just to kind of make sure we're good to go. Because when you log into PayPal, it doesn't automatically log you out. FYI, be mindful of your PayPal account if you pay with PayPal. Yeah, definitely got to log out. Log out. Sweet. Okay. So yeah, just ordered a mug for myself, or a clean canteen travel mug for myself. travel bottle, travel mug, whatever you want to name it, it's there. Also, while you're there, if you're looking at getting some coffee, get some coffee. Just saying, do it. Get some coffee. Okay, I think I've taken enough of your time. So, that being said, where are my show notes? Damn it. You know, I hate when I don't have myself organized sometimes. I really, really don't. I'm trying to get better with that. So, as I was, as you were, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Music intro is provided by PremiumBeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Background music is provided by MelodyLoops.com. If you would like to send us an email, notice I didn't say www.melodyloops.com. There, I did it. If you'd like to send us an email about today's or other shows, you can email us at nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com. That's nosyntaxpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Or feel free to post to our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast.net. You can also follow us on Twitter at nosyntaxpodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. We also want to ask for your help in spreading the word about our show. If you could please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave us a review, we would greatly appreciate it. Leaving reviews and rating us gets us some notoriety, gets us out there, increases our visibility, I guess, if you will, our presence on iTunes. So if you would leave us a review, we greatly appreciate it. Good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. We will still love you. Again, thank you for listening. We will talk to you soon. And once again, everybody, have a great Memorial Day weekend. Take care. Yeah.